I'm gonna take all this stuff out of the top of it.
Nick McGill is a collector. He's a scavenger and a borderline hoarder. He's collected fossils, unusual artifacts, mineral samples, and seeds from all over the world. He says the idea to scavenge started early in life.
I remember being a little kid, and I looked at all the trash, and I thought there were little men that would sort out the trash and take out all the usable stuff even then, the cans and the bottles and, you know, stuff like that. I didn't realize it was all just going to the dump.
When he's at home in the Midwest, he forages the abandoned factories of the Rust Belt. He's not just collecting it and throwing it in his yard. He's sourcing material for his sculptures.
It is like a fossil. A fossil you look at, it might look like a dog turd, really. But really, it's much, there's much more going on there. You can clean it up, you know, you gotta know how to look at it. You gotta chip it out of the rock.
Nick welds ball bearings, gears, drill bits, and car parts into these Gothic industrial candlestick holders, garden trellises, and public installations all around town.
What you would do with them? I don't know, but they're really cool. And that's from Otis Elevator.
But Nick wasn't always a sculptor. For many years, there was very little metal in his life. He went to college. He studied biology, paleontology, and geology. He did fieldwork in Africa. He even owned a lawn care business. He called it Marquis de Sade.
Marquis de Sade, let me whip your lawn in shape.
Then he was arrested for growing some pot in the forest.
Like a giant SWAT team descended on me with lethal force, you know, rifles and stuff. And it totally freaked me out. My life was ruined. I couldn't grow plants anymore. And so I started growing sculptures.
So that's when metal came back into his life. He started taking classes at the Waldron Art Center. He eventually became a teaching assistant for the same class, which led to a job on campus. He had unlimited access to the McCullough Building's workshop. His art was good, and it started selling.
Well, I did a series of the evolution of early sea life, which was interesting to do out of metal, like, you know, even a jellyfish. I did a metal jellyfish that I traded a car for, a nice Subaru four-wheel drive. That was pretty cool. That was one of my first big successes that I thought, man, I could do this. You know, people are going to trade me a car for a sculpture.
And then his reputation as a metal sculptor grew, and in fact, he does very well in Chicago. In his peak, he built 7 sculptures a week, and they sell for up to $1,000. But 20 years of sculpting takes its toll.
Metal, you have to fight it. It's strong, it's tough, it's dangerous. You have to impose your will on the metal, or it's going to bite back.
And he lost a few fights here and there. The metal bit back.
It's just a little harder to get around and do things that you once did, a little more painful, like my back is out.
So today he prepares for his last art show in Chicago.
It's a hard business. I would never recommend it. It's worked out for me, but I don't have expectations of retirement. I don't have a family to support. I don't have health care.
But just because he's quitting metal doesn't mean he's done with sculpture. His new mediums, his garden, and his sitar.
One is physical sculpture, one is sound sculpture. It's a living sculpture that I mold and shape, but it's also its own creation too, but I can be integrated with that. Now I would rather have living plants rather than dead metal. My sculpture is my journey. I don't have a retirement plan. I'm hoping that I go gently into the good night.
For WFIU Arts, I'm Christopher Mawson.